Good afternoon. On behalf of the family, could I extend a warm and genuinely heartfelt welcome to each and every one of you. I know that it means a lot to the family circle for you to be here this afternoon to share in this Thanksgiving service, to rejoice in the life and the testimony and the witness of our dear brother Everett Irons. And on behalf of the fellowship at Lima Valley Baptist Church, where Everett and Helen have been members for so many years and where Everett has served so faithfully as a deacon, could I extend our deepest sympathy to his wife Helen, to his son Philip and daughter Joanna, to his daughter-in-law Rachel and son-in-law Marcus, to Sam and Anna, his beloved parents, to Stephen, his younger brother. I have to get that in. I think they were always confused, and Stephen was always looked on as the older brother, but I think Stephen is the older brother, and Everett was the younger, and Everett always wanted to make sure that he was known as the younger brother. And also to Helen's father and mother, David and Ina, and to all the extended family circle. I know there are great many nephews and nieces and cousins and all the rest of it. And to them, we extend our deepest sympathy and assure you of our prayers and support, not only just for today, but for however long, The family extend a warm invitation for everyone to stay behind and linger after our service and to enjoy refreshment together as we share fellowship around a cup of tea and some food. And you're more than welcome. Everyone is more than welcome to stay for that. Could I also give a word of thanks to the Vineyard Church for allowing us the use of their building today? They have been a great help and a great encouragement, and we owe them a great debt of thanks for all of their help in allowing us to use the building today. On a personal note, could I pay tribute to Philip and Joanna in particular, and how they have arranged the service for this afternoon, and in doing so, being so concerned with everybody who's taking part. And we really, really appreciate everything that they have done over this past week. And I know that your father was so proud of you. And the best compliment I can give you, as I said in the home, is that the both of you are just a chip of the old block. So thank you so much for everything that you have done today to make it so memorable, but above everything else, to make it so God-glorifying. I want, during our service, to try and weave in a few thoughts about Everett just as we go through the order of service. And the first thought I want to leave with you this afternoon is about Everett the missionary. Everett had a missionary's heart. No matter where he was, should he be at work or whether he was in church with our youth fellowship or the street outreach that we have in a Sunday evening or Sunday night, early Sunday morning, wherever he was or whether it was overseas, he had that missionary heart. In his home, he had that missionary heart. And that fed through into so much of how he talked to people, how he interacted with people, because he wanted to know if people knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. And if they didn't, well, he wanted to introduce them to the Lord Jesus. There's a man here today who is very, very dear to the family and shares that missionary heart with Everett. And I'm going to ask Andy Hutton from Life Couriers International just if he would come and open in prayer. Thank you, Andy.
My parents said, as I was growing up, that if you had one or two friends, true friends in life, you were blessed. Although I had only known Everett for 7 or 8 years, he was a true friend. He was on his 15th trip serving the Chinese church, doing something he loved. And the morning he died, he sent out a verse, as was his habit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Everett lived by that verse. He also thought of others as better than himself when most were not. He also sent out a thought for the day a little later in the morning. When you set your love upon Jesus and act out of love for him, he will defend, deliver, and set you on high. Everett is now set on high with his Lord and Savior. And this was Everett. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that promise in your word that blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we do look for your comfort for Everett's family and his friends and for those whose lives he impacted. I thank you for having known him, even for such a brief period. And I pray that your peace would reign here as we celebrate Everett's life, that your presence would be consciously felt by all. And I just pray also that you would continue to use Everett's life as a witness to your saving grace as we celebrate his life. And so we commit this service to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. Everett loved to sing, and he loved music. And he had a fairly decent voice. He had a fairly decent tenor voice. And we had just started a wee praise group in our church, and he was part of that praise group. And I always nudged him on the side, and I said, you hit a wee bit of tenor if you can when you're singing. And he was able to oblige and do that. And the hymns and the pieces that we're going to be singing this afternoon have a place in Everett's heart. And this first hymn, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way," we know the story behind it. H.G. Spafford in the 1800s wrote this song after a great time of bereavement when he lost his children as they were lost at sea. And he wrote this great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," a hymn that plumbs the depths of his sorrow and his bereavement and yet scaled the heights of his absolute confidence in the goodness and the mercy of God. And this was the hymn that the team over in China sung that first Sunday morning in the service in Hong Kong in the church called Island ECC. And it was that first hymn they sung, and I think it's very fitting that we as a congregation sing it this afternoon. So we'll stand and we'll sing, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roam, whatever my love, I'll ask.
That was wonderful, wonderful singing. And Edward would say amen to that. It is well with my soul. We've looked at a wee bit at Everett the missionary and this missionary heart that took him down the streets in Limavady and took him to Hong Kong and further afield. A missionary heart. But Everett was also an inspiration. Everett inspired people. He inspired people to reach a wee bit further than they thought they could reach. To try a wee bit harder than they thought they could try. To go just that wee bit further than they thought they could ever go. He was always there to encourage, and especially with the young people. He knew every one of the young people. He knew the exams they were taking. He knew where they were going on holiday. He knew when they weren't at church and should have been. He knew everything about them, and he was an inspiration. One such man, or young man, is here today, and I know that Everett has been a great source of inspiration to him, inspiring him to go out and serve the Lord along with them as they went to Hong Kong and China. And we just call him Young Jack Hutton. That's just how he's known in the fellowship, Young Jack Hutton. And I'm going to ask young Jack to come along now and to bring a reading. Thank you, Jack.
This reading is taken from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing, to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs, and the autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favour upon the King, our shield. Show favour to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you.
Thank you so much, Jack. And if Everett could make mention, he would just say, well done, son. We're going to sing again another piece that is dear to Everett's heart, At Your Name. Now, there's a wee story behind this piece, because they were singing this hymn in the International Church, and they were singing one verse in English, and then they were singing the next verse in Chinese. And they were singing away, and Helen turned to look at Everett, and there's Everett at the top of his voice singing out in Chinese. And he had picked up a wee bit of Chinese, and he had figured out what they were singing, and he was singing away at the top of his voice in Chinese. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have paid a lot of money to listen to a Balamina man singing in Chinese. I would have thought it would have been something else. But that's Everett. That's Everett. He wouldn't have worried. He just got the words and he would have sung it at the top of his voice. So we're going to sing At Your Name.
Folks, shall we stand? At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar, tumble. At your name, the angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name. Shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Your name, when morning breaks in glory. Your name, creation sings your story. It's your name, the angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out.
There's no one like our God.
shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise. Shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Thank you, that's good singing. We have looked at Everett the missionary. And just that driving passion for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls wherever he met them. We've looked at Everett, the inspiration, that man with the personal touch, that man that could draw aside an individual and just inspire them to live for God. I could say something about Everett, the missionary, and Everett, the inspiration. But I can't say anything about Everett, the father. I think I need to leave that to someone who knew him the best. And I'm going to ask his son, Philip, just to come and pay tribute to his father. Come on ahead.
My name is Philip Irons. I'm Everett's son. Although he called everyone son, no matter what age you were, you still got son. And I'm okay with sharing him today because he was my dad, my friend, my first phone call, my problem fixer, and my flight booker. And we all sit here today knowing Everett Irons from so many different walks of life. He was a part of so much and committed to so many different organizations. His feet have traveled further than most. And firstly, Dad's feet were in some sort of hand-me-down shoes, as was normal. Stephen shared what brothers do. They shared their clothes, they shared their love, they shared their laughter, and they shared their fun experiences. Even putting a car through a hedge. Dad didn't do that. Dad took a step further and followed Stephen's footsteps into their next adventure. And they joined the police together. Today, we thank God for a loving family that Dad grew up in. We thank God for the love that they had for him and the influence they had in his life. The next shoes Dad wore were these black, very shiny boots. He wore a uniform and a badge that he believed in. He joined the RUC to make a difference, serving the community in a violent, scary, and dark part of this country's history. He lost friends, but he never lost hope that things would change. And being in the Christian Police Association created a place for Dad to encourage and speak into other Christian colleagues' lives as they lived with daily threats and troubles that the job they so loved often brought. As time moved on, a new name came, new challenges came, and a new office came. One of Dad's proudest times of serving in the PSNI, our police service, came in Fermanagh at the G8 with the world's most influential leaders meeting in Fermanagh. Dad was running around the hills and the lakes on boats, having the time of his life, sleeping in a pod, making new friends. I am extremely proud of the service my dad had in the RUC and the PSNI. We thank God today for keeping Dad safe throughout his years of service. We thank you, God, for the CPA and for all they do in connecting police officers to you. Dad's feet, when not at work, were often found in wellies. Dad took to farming extremely well, and between me and Marcus, he was well educated in animal husbandry and milking. I'm not sure Dad ever saw the day when his children would be involved in farming so heavily, but he was always happy as long as we were happy. A saying so often used from our holidays in France where, if the Wains are happy, then we're all happy. The wellies also came out when washing cars, weekly, sometimes daily, and on walks with our dog, Indy. Treats in one hand, Mum's hand in the other, always panicking that this would be the day that Indy runs away. Today, we thank God for the memories of times on the farm, for the memories of walks along the sea wall, for memories of laughter with family in France, for beach races on Easter Mondays, and for nights in the bungalow. Other shoes Dad wore were flip-flops. These only come out on two occasions, either at the speedboat in Drumahiglas or on holidays in France. But more recently, Mum and Dad could be found in the wee small hours of Saturday night handing out flip-flops to people in Limavady as they come out home from a night out. My dad loved talking to people and meeting people from all walks of life, sharing what God had done in his life and how his life had been changed because of Jesus. This came across throughout the years he gave to the youth in Limavady. And there's a group of people here today because of the hours and the conversations, the prayers and the promises made through Alan and Claire, Mark and Sylvia, Gerald Titmus, and Mum and Dad. Today, God, we thank you for how Dad cared for the next generation, how he cared that he knew God, that they knew God, how he cared that we knew Jesus and loved him. Today, we thank you for giving his life and life to the full. Business shoes come out when flights were booked and bags were packed, not with clothes, but with full of Bibles. The first year Dad and Harold went to China, we had no idea how they would even survive. They didn't even know how to use chopsticks. Never mind try some crazy Chinese foot soup, chicken foot soup. But returning home with crazy stories of God breaking through with miracles, using banana skins, and all sorts of joy knowing that Christians in China, desperate for Bibles, had them, made Dad so happy. This was the journey beginning. Dad came home changed forever. He experienced God move like never before. He was filled to overflowing with faith. As he shared stories, teams grew, flights grew, and Dad's love for the country grew. That country so far on the other side of the world had a big place in Dad's heart. Today, China will not be the same. Today, we thank God for China, and we thank you for the love that you placed within him for China, for the love that he had for the Christians there, for the persecuted church. We thank you for his love for the Chinese people and for the love that of your word that you placed in him. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And then there was the times when Dad took off his feet shoes to relax. At home, Dad was happiest with a paintbrush in hand or a laptop in hand, booking the next flight. Dad was all these things, but firstly, Dad was a perfect husband. He honored and loved Mum with all his heart. He started and ended each day with a kiss. Mum was Dad's highlight of every single day. He spoke so well of Mum in every circumstance. And growing up, Dad raised Joanna and me to never settle in life, to always remember our good name, and to chase our dreams, and to do all these things filled with God's radical love. Our wedding day for the two of us were Dad's highlights. They had a special place in his memory. He prayed for us for every single day, and he was so proud of us. No matter what we achieved or what we did, his pride shone through for us. I thank you, God, for how well Dad loved us. I thank you for how well he loved Mum and for how he cared for his special family. And one of the last things I did with my dad was to move out of our wee house. We drove up and down the Ballyquin Road with a cattle trailer on all day. We chatted about how our crazy adventure was only just beginning. We chatted about the conference that we had here at church. And one message that I shared that I'll never forget now. It was a guy called Banning Leibster. And he shared how to live a thankful life when things seem to be crumbling all around you. His advice was, go camp at the cross. Meditate on what Jesus has done for us. The filter that we look at our lives through is what he had done for us on the cross. No matter what is going on in my life right now, what I know is this. I was dead, now I'm alive. I was in sin, and now I'm righteous. I was an orphan and abandoned and lost, and he came and found me. He adopted me. We can't stay ungrateful in life when you stay at the cross. So today I choose to camp at the cross. I choose to thank Jesus for dying for us. I thank you, Jesus, for my dad and for the life that he lived, full of you, continually chasing after more of you, hungry for you. I thank you for the peace and the strength that you have given our family in the last 5 months. And finally, I've talked so much about my dad's feet. He's left so many tough shoes to fill in all areas of our lives, and I can't fill them all. We all need to step up and do more. We need to share our faith more. We need to do more missions. We need to risk more. We need to care for our community more. We need to read our Bibles more. We need to pray more. We need to give more time to our family. And there aren't many Everetts in this world. For many of us, he was the only Everett that we knew. But the person behind the name was as special as the name. Dad has gone to heaven, leaving behind a legacy. Not leaving a gap, but a space for all of us to step up and step into.
Thank you, Philip. Isn't it wonderful when a son can stand up and say that of his father? Not only when his dad was alive and here, but when he's gone to glory. It makes me wonder just what our children will say of us when they stand where Philip stands today. What testimony, what legacy do we leave behind? Everett, the missionary. Everett, the inspiration. Everett, the father. Everett wasn't well liked by everybody. He was well loved by everybody. That's what made him stand out. And Everett sought to be the best friend that he could be, no matter if he just had met you that day or he had known you for 30 years. He wanted to be the best friend that he could be. And in doing that, he acquired to himself good friends, dear friends, loyal friends. And one of them is here today to pay tribute to Everett, the friend, and I think one of his best friends, Alan Hutton. And Alan's going to come now. Thank you, Alan.
I'm going to take inspiration from the next generation of Irons and Philip. I'm sure you're all friends here today. The very large number of people here showed more about Everett than anything else and how much he was loved. I'm sure you'll all have memories and stories and happy times, and I certainly can't remember of any time we didn't laugh. Any contact I had with Everett, we always laughed. And that's special. And if I'm going to try and maybe say some things that Philip has said already, but if I've left anything out, please forgive me. Maybe many people here today are wondering why, asking the question, why Everett? Many people here are starting to ponder the meaning of life and think, how could this be? Today, maybe the word joy isn't the first word in our minds, but when I think of Everett, I think of joy. Everett's life was full of joy and full of laughter. He had everything worked out. He had the meaning of life. And it was very simple. Those three letters in joy: Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Everett lived that. Everett meant that. Everett sought to serve God and follow his blueprint for life, that perfect life that God has for each one of us. It wasn't through her own strength, but he knew that he could rely on God for anything that he asked. It's perhaps fitting that Everett's last days were serving God, doing the thing he loved, in the place he loved, with the people he loved, for the people he loved. Everett was a youth leader for 25 years or more. I had the pleasure of spending most of that time with him along with our wives. He was a church deacon in Lima Valley Baptist. For 6 years, he was the president of CPA here in Northern Ireland, and I believe Sir Matt may be with us, the president of National CPA, our former chief constable. And there's others from Garda Síochána here with us today. But those were many ways why they were so special to Everett, and he gave his heart and soul for those. They were just titles. Everett showed his love for God by how he lived his life. In the book of Colossians, God instructs us to clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I'm sure everyone here who knows Everett could give him every one of those words. Not all of us could say the same for ourselves, but Everett lived those. I got so many messages from people in work, and they used those words. Everett clothed himself in those words. That chapter goes on and says, husbands, love your wives. I can think of no better example than Everett, than someone to love his wife. Everett loved Helen and devoted to her from when they were teenagers, and you saw the evidence of that in those photographs, that how he could look so young. He loved her with all his heart. They did everything together, even wallpapering. And I know that's the cost of many a relationship. When Helen was doing something, whether looking after the children she cared for, or at Mums and Toddlers, or Walk for Life, or anything, Everett was never far away, whether setting up or packing away or just simply being there for support. Everett is the example for us all on how we should love our wives. God's word goes on to say, honor your parents, your father and mother. And Everett was an example to us children. He was a child at 53, and he loved Anna and Sam. He loved to keep them involved in those regular phone calls and contact, maybe twice a day, keeping even when he's the other side of the world, keeping his parents involved in his life and being part of their life, keeping that regular relationship with his parents. Everett loved his parents and his parents-in-law, Davy and Ina, and was blessed to have such godly examples. And Everett is that perfect son where he showed his love for his parents and honored his father and mother. The word goes on and tells us how to raise our children and to be an encouragement to them. And I don't think there could be a better person to show the encouragement. He doted over Philip and Joanna, always being there for them. He also went and lifted a few cars out of ditches. And he didn't care. His priority was his children. He doted over them. He loved them. He didn't seek material wealth, attention, or acclaim. I believe seeing the wonderful qualities that Philip had for Joanna, and that the wonderful qualities that both Philip and Joanna had and displayed of compassion, loving and caring for other people, that meant much, much more. Everett delighted in seeing Philip and Joanna find wonderful partners for life in Rachel and Marcus. And perhaps Everett's most proudest moment was walking Joanna down the aisle last September. A perfect example of a father and love for his children. Everett loved that big family, that wider family between the Mitchells and the Irons. Those family get-togethers in Port Stewart at the bungalow or at Christmas parties. Those holidays in France with the Camerons and crew. Wherever Everett was, laughter was never far away. Everett lived a life of service to others, always giving his best. And the heart of what he did was to share God's love in a practical way. Everett did 20 years service in the police, whether as a full-time reserve standing on checkpoints at the border, he sought that opportunity to get to talk to people, get to know people, get involved in people. Then as a neighborhood officer in Rosemount neighborhood in Derry, Londonderry, Dura, as it's now known. And then on, more recently, as an intelligence world, Everett cared for those. And I know there's many people from work here today, and maybe in strange surroundings, but Everett loved you and cared for you. And I know that you loved him and were special. Anyone who came into contact with Everett saw something special, and it wasn't long before they knew of his faith. Everett for years was supportive of some of our widows from terrorism, part of the welfare, calling with people year on year, never forgetting them, always lifting them, taking them to functions, keeping that contact with them, always care for those people. To say Everett was an active member in the church and is an active in church life is an understatement. He was at the heart of all that was good. In recent times, has been mentioned going out onto the streets to make sure people get home safe. Everett showed genuine care, and you could see how it really thrilled him. How it changed his heart and changed his soul and thrilled him so much. Everett was about giving and not seeking anything or expecting anything in return. Everett cared for that wider church family, whether from the very youngest through to our senior citizens. He would always have time and talk to them and have fun with them. And that brings me on to Everett loved banter. Whether bartering with those Chinese traders for that deal after nutmegging Jeff Ferris at five-a-side football, or beating a young man half his age at squash, young David Grant, or all those Liverpool fans out there when Man United won. I don't think Everett could name a single player in the Man United team, but he enjoyed that banter. It was never about the winning, but about having a positive interaction with people. Everett loved people. And the banter, whether with those little tots or young people or older folk, it was all about making people feel special. Everett developed many skills, and I had the joy to be part of many of these with him. As a youth leader, Ev loved all those young people and was loved by those young people, and the many are here today. He prayed for them. We had weekends away. They felt like a lifetime, but they were weekends. But he showed a genuine interest in people's lives. It gave him great joy to see these young men and women grow up and develop, and particularly when we see them go into God's service. Everett exemplified giving whatever talent you have, no matter how large or how small, and letting God make something special of it. As radio DJs on New Life Radio, neither of us had a clue. But we let God do all the work. We certainly didn't do the preparation, but we let him do the work. And that was a wonderful, wonderful time in reaching so many people. Everett recently undertook a coaching course, and I believe some from Coaching from Christ are with us today. This wasn't to build a CV, but this is about engaging with people and make people's life better and change them for the future. China and the Chinese people had a special place in Everett's heart. And as I said, this trip was his 15th with another one planned this year. Everett was passionate about helping to bring the good news of Jesus' love to the Chinese people. And such was his heart that he enthused and inspired perhaps over 100 people of all ages, abilities, walks of life to join him in teams. Right from that very first one where Harold Grant and he went out in a whole new world. Everett never really liked change, and that was so remarkable that he did so many new and wonderful things with somebody who didn't like change. While these days have been tough, it's with joy that we know that Everett's with the Savior. A Savior he loved, and the one day we can all be reunited. Everett had a joy that we all can have. It was what he spent his life sharing with you. I'm sure he shared it with you. Everett never sought to preach, but to show God's love for those around him so that anyone and everyone can have that personal Savior. If each of us can learn one thing from Everett's example, just take one aspect of it, how much better can we be as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a neighbor, or a citizen. The Apostle Paul wrote, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is a store for me, the crown of his righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We've seen Everett wear many funny things in his head, but today I have a picture of Everett wearing a crown from a righteous judge who's when he's longed for his appearing. I would say this in closing, that if God has called home his very best, how much more must be ready for the rest of us?
Thank you, Alan, bringing a tribute to a friend. And I think we can all identify with that friendship and that care and that love that Everett brought to our lives. I want to bring just a few thoughts from God's word. We are all in a state of shock and bewilderment, if we were to tell the truth, at the sad and sudden events of these last few days. From early Monday morning, I feel myself as though I have been walking through a haze of disbelief, hardly able to take it in and to come to terms that this brother that I've known for 32 years is no longer here with us, no longer going to be standing at the door of the fellowship in the Lord's Day morning. As Alan has said, no longer with the banter and the jokes and the fun. No longer will we be part of that missionary heart. No longer will we know the inspiration that he brought. No longer will that voice of the Father be heard and that welcome of the friend be felt. And I have to be honest with you, I'm human. I have been left with more questions than answers. Why Everett, just in the full flow of serving the Lord in China, with his heart set on that place and that people, to reach them for the Lord, to bring God's word into their hands, why should you be taken? When I received the news on early Monday morning, a verse of scripture came immediately to my mind. And it's a verse that has remained there, and it's been a verse that has brought me comfort. It has brought strength as I have tried to process what has happened. And we find it in the book of Philippians. It's well known. But I want to read a few verses in Philippians chapter 2, and then we'll turn to that particular verse. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, we read these words. Paul is speaking and he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I would not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The verse of scripture that rested upon my heart Monday morning is found in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, I'm sure that perhaps is the verse that sprung into your mind during this week, as you thought of that life that had been lived so well and so energetically for the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You see, I could talk about Everett the son, and I could talk about Everett the brother and the husband and the father and the policeman and the friend. We've heard so much about that today. But flowing through every aspect of Everett's life, whether it be in the home, whether it be as a husband, whether it be as a policeman or a friend, flowing through every aspect of Everett's life was this one constant theme. For to me, to live is Christ. I've known Everett for 32 years. When I met my wife and we started to go to her church. Everett was there, Belie Baptist Church, and I've known him and the Irons family for 32 years or so. And in those 32 years, I could say that Everett sought to do everything for the glory of God. Whether he be at work, whether he be at home, whether he be in the fellowship, everything that Everett sought to do was for the glory of God. He could say, for me to live is Christ. Could I ask you a question this afternoon? And I know time's going on and you're all fanning there and trying to get a wee bit of air around you. But could I ask you this question? What matters in life when death comes? What matters in life when death comes? Now, probably the first thing you think of is, well, I want to leave a good will behind for my children. I want to have a good estate that I can leave behind. That would be the most important thing. Well, you know, when you're gone, that estate is divided up. And it's all handed out. And it all dwindles away. And it's gone. Maybe for somebody else you would say, no, would like to leave a resume of good works. And yet, dear friends, when it would come your turn to die, you have to take your hand of those good works. Someone else comes along and they pick it up and they put their name on it. And so quickly it is gone. Maybe for somebody else it would be, well, I would want to be remembered. I would want to be remembered. That would be important. I wouldn't want to be forgotten. The Bible says this about our life. It says that our life is like a story that is told. And we all know what it is to tell stories, to read a storybook maybe to our children. And you read that story, and it maybe has taken you 3 or 4 nights or maybe a week to go through that story. But eventually you come to the end of the story, and what do? You close the book. You put it on the shelf. It's a story that's told. Occasionally you'll walk by that shelf. You'll see the book. You'll remember the time you read it to your children. But so quickly the memory fades away. And so I want to ask you the question again. What really matters in life when death comes? Could I suggest to you this afternoon 3 things that matter in life when death comes? First of all, it matters who you know when death comes. It matters who you know. Paul says here, for me to live is Christ. This Thanksgiving service is being held not because really of who Everett Irons was and not because of everything that he has done in life. That's not the primary reason. The primary reason why we're having this Thanksgiving service this afternoon is because of the one that Everett knew. He could say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for I know him I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. As a young boy of 6 years old, ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and his Lord. He knew the Lord. And I'm sure there are people here today and you have rubbed shoulders with many famous people. And maybe you could write a list of so many people that you have shaken hands with, that you have shared a meal with, that you know personally who are famous. But when death comes and life is over, every one of those friends, no matter how close they were, no matter how famous they are, must leave you. They cannot step into that place of death with you. And the only thing that matters in life when death comes is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. when Everett entered into that valley of death on Monday, he was not alone. Old family had to say goodbye, but he was not alone. For the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And the one whom Everett had known personally for so, so many years was the one who was the only one who could be with him in that valley of death. Friends, when death comes, because let me say something to you. We have all one thing in common. We're all running out of time. Aren't we? We're all running out of time. Every one of us. And when time runs out, whose name will you cry? Whose name will be upon your lips? Who will you know when life is over? What really matters in life when death comes? It matters who you know. But something else I want you to see. It matters how you've lived. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. As I said, Everett from a very early age gave his life to the Lord. And from that day on, he sought to live for the Lord. And each of us have seen firsthand the evidence of that. Whether you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior or not, you know the evidence of that life that was lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people here have received a Bible from Everett's hand. Isn't that right? Some of you on regular basis receive a wee verse of scripture and a wee thought because Everett was thinking about you. You see, it mattered to Everett how he lived. And he wanted to live the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't that Everett was a good worker. He was that. It's not just that he wanted to do everything to the best of his ability. He did that. But everything that Everett sought to do, from the smallest to the greatest, from family, career, to church, to mission work in China, if it was just to shake your hand on the street corner, if it was just to bring you a cup of tea, if it was just to say, hello, son, it was done for the glory of God. It was done that's whoever would look at Everett's life would see the reality of Christ in it. People say that no one's indispensable, that no one can be done without. But I feel today there is a gap in our fellowship in Lima Valley Baptist Church that's going to be very, very, very hard to fill. Very hard to fill. And Philip issued the challenge. Don't stand looking at the gap. Seek to stand in it. And I appreciate that. Everett was a man who sought to live Christ in everything. And again, I believe that Everett could say with Paul, as Alan said to us there, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a way to leave this world. What a way to finish life. To know that everything that God had placed into your hands to do, you had sought to do it with all of your heart and with all of your love for the glory of God. You're maybe sitting here this afternoon and you're saying, I have lived well. I have lived well. I'm a good person. But that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you this question. Have you lived right? Have you lived right? Because let me tell you this. Death will never be gain until you have first lived for Christ. It can never be gain. The life that you're living, is it preparing you for eternity? Is it? I mean, if the Lord were to say to you, it's finished today. Time has run out and life is over. Who do you know? How have you lived? Surely those are the things that really matter. But just one final thing, and I'm finished. It matters where you'll go. When life is over and death comes, it'll matter where you go. For to me to live is Christ, Paul says, and to die is gain. The Greek word for live is a wonderful word. If you look it up in the Greek and find the meaning of it. It means this, to have true life worthy of the name. Isn't that wonderful? To have true life that is worthy of what life is supposed to be. Everett lived that life that was filled with love for his wife, for his children, for his family, for the fellowship of God's people, wherever he found them, whether in Limavady or whether at the CPA or whether in China, it didn't matter to Everett. He just loved them. And of course, he had that deep love for the Lord. Just 53 years. And yet filled with real life and worthy of the name. Isn't that great? The Lord Jesus Christ ever discovered. The Lord said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Life was rich for Everett. Life was joyful for Everett. Life was a source of great excitement and adventure for Everett. Because Everett knew where he was going when it was over. He knew where he would be. And Everett could say with Paul in verse 20, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, Christ would be magnified. Everett lived this life to the full, knowing that it's better to be with the Lord. That's wonderful. And all the loss that we feel today, and will in the days that lie ahead, pales into insignificance when compared to the gain that Everett has entered into in the glory. You see, dear friends, in the great eternity, and don't let anyone fool you. Don't let anyone fool you. There is an eternity. There is life after death. And in that great eternity, there is but two places. There is but heaven and there is but hell. Two places. And the soul of every man and every woman must spend eternity in one of those two places. Jesus Christ said this, the Son of the living God. He said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As you sit here this evening, thinking about Everett, and drying that tear that wants to break through and roll down your cheek, if it were you today, where would you be? Would it be heaven? Would it be hell? Oh, it's an uncomfortable thought, I know that. But it's reality. Tell me, as we come to the end of this service, as we have heard so much, tell me this, what really matters in life when death comes? Surely it matters who you know. It matters how you live. And it matters where you'll go. Everett would want me to say today, will you trust Jesus as your Savior? Will you repent of your sin if you haven't already done so? And yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's cross to make a way of cleansing and forgiveness and salvation for you. You see, the whosoever will may come. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what you've done. If you come today and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, He will forgive you, He will cleanse you, He will save you, He will fill you with His life and His joy and His peace. And who knows how He could use you? Do we mourn today? Yeah. Yes, we do. But not as those who have no hope. Will we miss Everett? I can tell you more than we can put into words. But one day, those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, those of us who have followed in those footsteps of faith, one day we will stand and we will behold our Savior face to face, and Everett will be there. And we, the redeemed of God, will be united in glory forever and never be separated again. Dear friends, this afternoon, will you be there? Will you be there? What matters in life when death comes? Jesus. That's what matters. Knowing Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. May God bless His word to our hearts today. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing our closing hymn. This is a hymn that was chosen by the family, by the children. It was chosen for this reason. It says in verse 3, and on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praises unending 10,000 years and then forevermore. You see, the family who are so brokenhearted today and so engulfed in this great sorrow, one day in the glory, we'll sing the praises of the Lord with Everett, not just for 10,000 years, but forevermore. Let's stand together and sing. And sorry, after we sing, could you remain standing? And Norman Somerville, one of our elders, will come and close in prayer and give thanks for the food. Thank you. Sorry.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again.
Thank you for the privilege of being together in this humbling, yet uplifting and challenging experience of remembering the life of our dear brother, Everett. Thank you, Lord, that he has passed each of our ways, that he has been part of our lives, and we've been privileged to know him. We thank you for his godly example, for his absolute integrity, for his identity with the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he did. Thank you, Lord, that you used him as an instrument of your grace in the lives of so many, whether colleagues, whether youngsters growing up. Thank you for how you used him to influence the lives of youngsters growing up in a challenging world, to nurture those who were young in Christ, to reach out to youngsters in the streets who are looking for some meaning to life. Thank you, Lord, for how you enabled him to get alongside them, to point them to your living word, to point them to the one and only Savior who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thank you, Lord, for his outreach to the vast numbers in China through distribution of the scriptures. We pray that many lives there will be enriched and blessed through Everett's influence, through his leadership of the many teams that went out there. And today we remember his dear family, his lovely wife, Helen. Pray you draw near to her and minister to her, as she has so suddenly been bereft of her loved one, that you will sustain her in the coming days. Pray for Joanna and Marcus. Pray for Philip and Rachel, that your blessing will be their portion in the coming days as they remember their dad and his influence. And we pray for his mom and dad, that you graciously draw near to them and minister to them in their deep need. For his brother Stephen and their family, that your hand will rest upon them. And we pray for our church family at this time, that as we seek to fill that gap that Everett has left that it will be filled through even his life continuing to challenge them. We thank you that it has been said of one and old, he being dead, yet speaketh. And we believe that for a long time in the future, Everett's life will speak on and influence many. And pray that even today, those who do not know Jesus, Everett's Savior, might come to know him whom to know is life eternal. And who said, I have come that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Thank you for Everett. Thank you for the blessing that he brought to so many of us and beyond us. Part us with your blessing, and just now we give you thanks for a time of fellowship together. We pray that fellowship will be sweet. Thank you, Lord, for every provision for us, spiritually and materially. And we thank you for the good things provided just now. In Jesus' name, amen.